Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Pony Sync for the 23rd of November. Joe, take it away.
All right, let's start with RFCs that are ready for vote. Going first to RFC 64.
All right.
Benoit's RFC for AST annotations, which I believe is a generalized form of something that can be used for likely and unlikely branch prediction.
Ah, I see.
Other
Yes, and in fact, allowing complex annotation is probably a good thing. And it's true that doc strings are a form of annotation, but it's okay to handle them separately from this mechanism, I think. So right now, this is just allowing a collection of tokens as the annotation?
Yes.
Okay. We might at some point want to express a more structured annotation format. And the reason is annotations start to get really interesting and useful once we have, well, for lots of things, but reflection especially, because it means you can start reflecting over things and looking for specific annotations and treating things that are annotated in different ways when you reflect over them. So I had been thinking about annotations in the context of being able to annotate specific things, but being able to annotate any arbitrary AST node like this is pretty awesome. Oh, it's interesting that annotation would not be attached to. So, I have a question about in the how we teach this. If we wrote actor annotation foo, that annotation would go on the ID node inside the actor, or would it go on the actor?
It would go on the ID node.
Okay, so the annotation on average comes just before the node being annotated.
Yes.
Okay. So yeah, so that's interesting because of it means that you can't annotate an actor. You could annotate the ID node in an actor, but not an actor. That's interesting.
It's also, there's something a little bit different about the way, compared to doc strings, which are become right after the thing that they're attached to.
Right.
But I think having them come after the thing they're attached to gets awkward in smaller cases like the ones at the top of the RFC.
Right.
Like creating a single part of an expression.
So, for 2+3 foo times 5, why isn't the AST node for the multiply annotated?
Maybe I'm wrong on this one, but the general idea is that an annotation can be placed only before the start of a rule in the grammar, and multiply is in the middle of a rule. Or maybe not. I'll check.
Because it's a binary operator?
Yes.
That makes sense. Okay. So, annotation is a good thing in general. It's also very, very hard to get right. So I think if we accept this, which I'm inclined to accept this, is that we do it in an open-minded way that says where we know that we might need to go back and change the way it's done, because we might run into situations where we go, actually, this isn't general enough, we need to do this, or actually, it's too general, or things like that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
What does everyone else think?
Yeah, I agree. We may come back and say, oh, we need to annotate something in this other way, and it wasn't allowed by the way the annotations are currently done. Come back and change it.
Yeah, exactly. So are we going to put the annotations in the generated Antler and BNF files? Will they go?
I'm not sure.
Okay, because I think if we have a system for doing them that doesn't result in them being generated, then I'm a little bit wary that they could result in some unexpected parsing behavior. Whereas if we have a system so basically, are we going to... I think, now that I think about it, the way that you're talking about doing this is by changing the way def works, isn't it? Is that right?
Yeah. I was thinking about... adding a new changing the way the parser works by each time you do you define a new rule, first it will first look for an annotation and then proceed with the actual rule. So an implicit optional rule.
Yeah. So that becomes a one unit. Well, no, it's actually a bit more complicated. It becomes a look ahead token situation, right? Where every rule begins with an optional token, an optional annotation, which means you don't know, the token doesn't tell you which rule you're going to process. Now, there's no backtracking because you can parse the whole annotation and hold on to it and then figure out which rule you're going into and then pop off the annotation. But it means that would mean that the grammar was not LL1. And that would work fine with our parser as written, but I think it might make writing more generalized tooling quite difficult.
Oh, yeah, I didn't thought about that.
Yeah, I didn't either until just now.
So I imagine this is one reason why doc strings come after the thing that they're documenting.
That is exactly right.
Would this work well if we changed it so that the annotation has to follow the thing it's annotating?
So I'm just going over the Antler file real quick. And fortunately, there just aren't that many different parsing constructs, which is good. So if we were to say that you can annotate a type definition by putting an annotation after the introductory keyword, that would work just fine. The same with a field. Same with a method. And then when we start talking about more fine granularity stuff, you could put an annotation after a jump keyword. You could put an annotation in between the equal sign and the expression that you're assigning. You could put an annotation in between a binary operator and the right-hand side of that operator. You could have optional annotations on each part of a term, but actually, could get more specific, because a pattern could annotate an ID, a type, you could annotate individual method calls.
Well, maybe as a first. Maybe we can restrict the annotations, like you said, for example, after a keyword, because I've thought about some annotations that we could implement in the compiler, and I thought for bunch predictions. That must be after an if,
right?
And I've also thought about packed structs, so structs without padding, and that can be put after the struct keyword.
Yeah.
So maybe we can restrict to keywords only. At first, and if somebody comes up with a useful annotation that can be used like that, maybe we can go back and expand it.
Okay. Yeah. On the specific issue of branch prediction, this is just one of these anecdotal things, which, you know, just something to think about, is that with modern branch prediction hardware, it turns out programmers actually get branch prediction wrong a lot. And that's why all the branch prediction stuff was taken out of the Linux kernel, was for that, as I understand it. Of course, I could be wrong about that. But as I understand it, it was taken out because it turns out that programmer annotations for branch prediction were actually making things slower. So it's something to be aware of. Is that I haven't seen a strong use case for programmers getting branch prediction right more often than not as yet. But that's, yeah, if you know of differently, then that's great. I think
maybe I'm wrong, but for example, in array.apply, almost certain that the index will be in bounds. So maybe I'm wrong, but I think this is a good use case for that to say that the index being in bounds is more likely than not being.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. Is it generating code where that's not where it's not putting that as the first case?
I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, that's a hugely likely one. So I kind of like this idea of making it keyword-based, and again, with the caveat that we could realize that this was all a terrible idea and come back and rip it back out again, which is okay because annotations only affect, at this point, compiler writers because we don't have reflection yet. So I think actually this is a great time to figure out exactly how we want to do arbitrary annotation. So yeah, I think move it to keywords and go for it. What do you guys think?
Yeah, agreed.
Okay. Awesome. Tell you what, Benoit, can you maybe write up that we'll move it to keywords to make it clear how the parsing is supposed to work and then merge it?
Yeah, okay.
Awesome.
I'll do it maybe tonight or tomorrow.
Great.
Okay, so moving on to pull requests in the main repo. We've got, actually, let's do issue tickets that are marked as needs discussion first. Let's see. We have So I'm looking at 1408, delegate compilation fails with multiple compilation units. So the reason this was marked as need discussion during sync is because we wanted to talk briefly about whether or not whether or not we should consider removing delegate keyword from the language entirely. So one case for basically there's been some talk about whether or not that should be done.
Right.
And I can't think of a time when I've reached for a delegate and had it actually accomplish what I was trying to do.
Yeah.
So I think it's worth discussing that.
My inclination is that we have a developing standard library that's looking really good where nobody has used a delegate ever. So I think killing them doesn't sound so bad. And if someone were to come along with something, that's fine. But it seems to be a bit of a language wart right now.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely been times when I thought that it would solve my problem and it didn't. It ended up, you know, not being, there was some edge to what I was doing that made it so that it didn't actually work for that. Like for one common example, I think was for methods that return for chaining purposes, which we're getting rid of anyway. But if they return this for chaining purposes, then they're
it's the wrong this.
Yeah, it's the wrong. It's the wrong type, so
yeah, absolutely. Chaining as an actual language construct really does fix that in a really good way. Let's go for it. Let's pull it out because I think there's no point in holding on to it when no one's using it, and if that becomes a bad decision, okay, well, we can revisit it, but yeah.
Okay, so what I'll do is up an RFC that just says we're removing delegate and then I'll just put it into final comment period to give anyone who wants to speak up one last chance to do so.
Okay.
Okay. So, let me comment that effect. Okay, so moving on. Let's look at 1393.
Okay.
I see Theo marked it as moved discussion during sync. Is there anything in particular you wanted to discuss, Theo?
Let me think. This was a while ago. I think I remember this being very confusing because in the example I gave, the type sum t is equivalent to what's shown there, and for some reason when it's put inside a match expression, the what is returned by the match expression is not that type that sum t is equivalent to.
Ooh. That's so, very interesting. Let's see here.
So either, I think the error, like if I'm doing something wrong, I think the error message is at least incredibly not helpful.
Yeah. So, You have test directories that look like mine. What? So it's expecting a bhat string or string. Yep. And you are telling, because you told it some TB, absolutely. So you are matching on a hat string or string. When it is a string, you return the hat string. Cool. When it is s, you return. Yeah, when it's a string, you return the string. Otherwise, it's a string, and you return the string. All right. So the type of that is pretty clearly b hat string or string.
Yeah. And the thing is, if you replace where it says some t, it works perfectly fine if you replace it with it. But if you just say some t of b, it fails.
Wow.
So this might be another, like, the example of type parameter type checking within the body of the function as being messed up.
That's it. You've nailed it. Because look, it says b hash any.
That right.
Doesn't seem blind, but it still look so. B any is not a subtype of B hat. That's B, at worst, B any hat is not a subtype of B hat. When I'm going to claim that that compiler is a filthy liar.
Yeah.
B any hat is indeed a subtype of B hat because B hat is sugar for B any hat.
I think that this entire section of the compiler where we're checking whether a type parameter is a subtype of something else is broken.
Slightly wrong. Yeah, it seems to be covering many cases correctly, but in no way all of them. Yeah, I think that's the key one, is that error right there, because the only reason we're getting the more complex stuff, not a pairwise subtype, well, because of the first one. Not a subtype of string val, of course, it's a tuple. It's not a subtype of any element, well, because it thought that B hat wasn't B hat. And not every element in the union type because it thought B hat wasn't a subtype of B hat. Yeah, you're totally right, Joe. So that's definitely a bug.
All right, I'm writing a comment to that effect. And I'm not going to close the issue because I do think that we should leave both of these examples open. Leave both of the examples open to make sure we fix both when we fix this part of the compiler. But we definitely need to at some point take a look at the subtype checking for type parameters.
Yeah.
Okay. Commented and label removed. We also need a big bug label. Bug need investigation. Difficulty. I'm gonna say, well, I'll leave it. Priority high. So let's look at 1193.
All right.
Seems to be marked neat discussion a long time ago.
Yeah, this was brought up a while ago, and Sylvan said that he knew what the problem was and that he would take care of it.
Oh, dear. Sorry. This is...
No problem.
The good side of this is I've submitted a first draft on my dissertation, so I will reemerge, I promise. Right, here we are, 1193. Yep, this is the same error. Now that Joe has correctly pointed me in the right direction. Yeah, this is the exact same problem. I don't know if it's the same code causing the bug, but it's the same problem, which is we're seeing BNEs and Bs and BNE binds that are not subtyping with each other. And... yeah, this is a good one to fiddle with for exactly that reason. Oh, hey, look at this. My Scratch file, that code is what's in my Scratch file. How fun. Yeah, so I think we can pop off the needs discussion label, and it's that this is, in fact, the same core problem.
All right, I will do that.
Awesome.
Let me
Moves, needs investigations. That would be high. Okay. Let's look at 876. If we kind of fast forward past all the historical stuff, the question, starting at Benoit's comment on August 2nd, well, I guess there's many comments on August 2nd. He says, after digging into it, I'm not sure if allowing underscores and identifier and sugaring it to CK don't care is really the best solution. Doing that would introduce a lot of invalid cases, and I think that checking for those cases would be less straightforward than keeping TK don't care in the grammar and allowing it only when you want it. So I guess the question here is whether whether we should be able to allow underscore inside of a match. Instead of a match branch.
So I think possibly the right approach to this, maybe, is to actually remove don't care as a token. And instead, special case underscore as an identifier. Possibly. I don't know if that would spiral out of control. We'd have to really pay attention to it. But if we said, okay, look, underscore is an identifier. It's not a special token type. It would simplify the grammar. And instead of checking for don't cares in places, we check for IDs that are in fact underscore, and that's when we ignore them. And then what we could do is effectively just allow shadowing on underscore so that underscore can be introduced any number of times.
And disallow reading from it?
Right.
Okay.
And I feel like that would probably be a simpler way to sort of make an underscore work as an ignored identifier is to let it always be an identifier in the AST.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense, I think.
Oh, good. Okay, good.
I'm writing a comment to that effect right now.
Awesome. Because I'm looking at things like, you know, param has a postfix or don't care rule. Well, that would just become postfix, right? Or similarly, comma is infix type or don't care. Well, that just becomes infix type because an underscore becomes a valid identifier, which is a type. It's just an ignored type in a tuple type. Same thing goes for grouped type. Same thing goes for the tuple itself. Yeah, there's just all these places where if don't care is an identifier, it's just sort of fun. Grouped expression where it says raw seq or don't care.
All right, I left a comment. I've removed the needs discussion during sync label.
Cool.
Going back to issues that are marked as a discussion during sync. Let's look at 665. Last comment is by Sean saying, Sylvan, did we ever finalize this? So the question being, Sylvan, your proposal on March 30th, is that considered like the final word on what to do here?
I think my worry about trying to say, oh, we're going to allow, as Tommy says about allowing arbitrary arguments, is that actually those arguments vary by linker. So the Windows linker sees them differently from the Mac linker, which sees them differently from all the sort of normal linkers. I shouldn't say normal. All the bin tools like linkers. And so it seems like having a standardized set of stuff, which is the common denominator stuff that we handle, would be a better way to do that.
Okay, so we should just take your comment as being an approved RFC, basically.
Okay.
It was grandfathered in.
Or we can put up a new RFC for it. That's okay too. I don't want to, you know, short circuit that. On the other hand, if we're all okay with it, yeah. I mean, that's a fine way to do it. Strangely enough, at an old job, we built something with almost exactly that syntax for handling complex C and C++ project linking, and it ended up being a really, really useful thing, and we never did find a case where it didn't work. That doesn't mean we won't run into troubles, but it means I'm pretty sort of confident that that's going to work out okay.
Okay, I'm writing a comment. Okay. We have just one more ticket to discuss. That's pretty exciting. 318.
Oh, good old 318. I know 318.
So, let's see. The question is this, okay, so Sean and I at the end were discussing, is this a turn into RFC label or not?
I think this is turned into RFC.
Okay.
And I think that there are some subtleties about it, including partial application. The interesting bit is really partial application. Because if there wasn't partial application, what you could do is you could independently check each method completely, right? You could say, all right, it could be any of these types, so we're going to check each one, and if it type checks against that, then we're okay. We've type checked. Everything's fine. But the issue is when you've discovered that it's partial application and you are an argument short and you need to determine I should back up. The return type in the fully applied function is a union of all the possible return types, right? That's not crazy. It's going to be one of them. You don't really know which one, and that's okay. But in the partial application sense, you have remaining arguments, and those remaining arguments have to be an intersection of all the possible parameter types. Now, that sounds fine until you have type arguments along with arguments. Because now we have type arguments that may apply in unusual ways. So if you have, obviously each of them has to have the same number of type arguments, but it gets a little bit complex in terms of saying, how do those type arguments apply? How do you figure out what the intersection type is of the arguments and all that stuff? It's doable, but it's just a bit on the tricky side, if that makes any sense. And that's why I think an RFC, so that we really talk it through, would be a good idea. Did that make sense?
Yeah. I left a comment and marked it as turn into RFC and closed out the ticket.
Cool.
So, we've got some pull requests. Or I suppose I should ask, since there's 10 minutes left on the call, is there anything specific that somebody wants to bring up before we go into just looking at some pull requests?
Awesome.
Okay. So let's look at the pull requests. All right, let's look at 1432. Yeah. This relates to the implementation of...
That's not map. That's the underlying hash map.
Yeah, hash map inside libponyrt and libpony.
I like how Dippin says that it's not huge, but in fact, it's an overall 5% execution gain on every single program, which, if you ever listen to this, Dippin, that's huge. All right. So let's just have a quick look at it. So the difference is the get function returns the index. That it wants to insert at when it fails. Well, shazam. Because we don't want to find it again because we just found it. I see no downside to this. Does anyone see any downside to this?
Looks like Benoit approved it, so let's merge it.
Let's merge it.
Are you doing the honor, Sylvie?
Oh, I will, because I like this one. Squash and merge. Excellent.
So, but looking back at more pull requests. Benoit, what's the status of 1395? It's missing. Somebody needs to look at it on OS X, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
Okay. All right, so I guess we can't. Yeah, no, it's that yet, unfortunately. Let's look at 1418.
Oh, that's a rather nice change. So, did you confirm on x86 that the thread fence isn't emitting any code on x86?
Yeah, because x86, the load ordering is always enforced.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that we weren't that thing wasn't emitting any extra code on the x86.
No, it doesn't.
Sweet. That's excellent. Looks good.
All right, you want to go ahead and merge it, Sylvan?
Done.
Okay. Merged a couple of others while we're having that discussion. Let's look at...
All right.
So I think when we discussed this on the last sync call, we basically decided that split was behaving in a surprising way enough so that we considered it to be a principle of least surprise bug.
Yeah.
And I guess the solution that Enigma chose to look at was adding the split by function. Does anybody have concerns about this as a fix?
I guess the only thing is that I worry that the name seems sensible to me, and if it seems sensible to me, that means it's probably wrong.
I'm not totally convinced by the name either.
Okay. And yeah. So I sort of wonder if
should we consider changing the behavior of split to work like this one? And then renaming the old method to something else.
That's one. Yeah, we could do that. We could. We could also do something where the delimiter is a union type over a U8. I guess it would be a U32. Would it be a U32 array? Like a rune array? How is that actually implemented? Are we looking for runes? Yes, we are. So,
yeah.
So we could say that it's either an array of, a sequence of runes, or a string, or possibly a sequence of strings, and effectively, you know, write it as an overloading based on the union type, and that way it's always called split. Or we could say that those are actually three different functions, and why pass it as a union type when we could just as easily do it as separate functions. And,
well, maybe the best solution would be to use the I find uses for this all the time. Two RFCs, one of them being generic type inference, and the other one being
specialization. Yeah.
It seems like a much, from a ergonomics perspective, it seems pretty clean to just be able to call split with whatever you want. But then if it's a union, you're paying a little cost every time.
And if we do it through inference and specialization, you pay zero cost.
Right.
Yep.
So, should we suggest it use the union for now, and then make it a candidate for specialization later?
I think I would go with have the separate names for now, and okay. make it a candidate for specialization later.
All right, I think that sounds good. And then when the split by method goes bye bye.
Oh, that was well done.
then it'll be obvious. The way in which it breaks your code will be obvious.
Yeah.
Because you know when you try to compile, it'll say split by is gone.
Yeah.
And that's a much better way to break people's code than have the behavior quietly change without the compiler letting you know.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, I will. I guess we haven't looked at the implementation yet, or I haven't. If that looks good, then we can merge this, and I'll make that comment.
Okay.
I'll start writing up the comment now about. I'm going to make this a candidate for specialization later.
All right, cool. It's got tests, and the tests pass. And based on how the tests are written, I think the implementation is probably fine. Okay. And looking at it, it doesn't do anything that looks crazy.
All right. So just one last check. Anyone have anything they want to discuss before we go? All right. Well, high fives, everyone.
Awesome. That seemed particularly productive. I think getting rid of delegate has made me rather happy, or rather the chance that we are, if the RFC goes through, has made me rather happy. Cool. Thanks, everybody.